Our reading this morning is from Revelation chapter 2, from verse 8 through to verse 11. And we are going to read about the challenges that the second church to who John writes, to the challenges that they face. So I've named the message for this morning, the challenged church. Next week, the message will be hashtag captured church. You didn't get it, did you? Thought people in Mpumalanga would get that one. Father, we pray that as we open your word, Lord, that you will also open our minds to receive this word, Lord, and our hearts to take this word in, to make this word grow and cherry and flourish in our hearts, Lord, so that this word will just overflow from us, so that others will see you through the words that you've planted in us. In Jesus' name, we ask this. Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews, and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. May the words of our Lord be a blessing to our souls. Is that young Brooke? He wants to preach for us this morning. He's welcome to. Don't mind him. We've started a series where you're going to look at the seven letters to the seven churches in Revelation. And last week we read about the first church in Ephesus. And this week we will look at Smyrna, the second church. And you'll find as we go through the seven letters that Jesus always has something that he holds against the churches, except for two. Smyrna was one of these churches which Jesus doesn't say, I've got this that I hold against you. But if one reads this letter carefully, one would notice that there is concern in Jesus about what's happening in and around this church. A concern that the believers will give in to the onslaught, because the church in Smyrna, like all our churches nowadays, they were challenged and they faced an onslaught. Even if you don't think in a congregation like ours, there is an onslaught in the church, because I think we're very, very blessed. We don't always see how much there is an onslaught on our churches. When Jesus speaks about the Jews in Smyrna, he speaks about them, he refers to them as the ones who has already given in to the pressures of the world. He calls them a synagogue of Satan. A synagogue of Satan, because for their own comfort, for their own gain, they would forsake that what they believe in. They would even forsake God himself. I don't know if you know much about Smyrna. I know the Bible study group would know, because they've studied a bit. But Smyrna was a rich merchant city. It was right on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, but it also had a harbor that was a river harbor. So not only could trade happen in and around the port in Smyrna, but their port actually had a river leading inland. So a lot of these cities and that in Asia Minor would channel their trade through Smyrna. And you know what happens when you've got a hub like this, where a lot of trade happens, there's a lot of richness and money and all sorts of things. Yet we hear that the Christians here were poor. So Smyrna was a rich merchant city. And Smyrna had a lot of people in this town from all over. And a lot of Jewish people settled in this town. Do you know any Jews? Do you know what they normally do? They have a lot of trade happens and a lot of things happens. They settle there, don't they? They're good to pick out the places where you can make money. Nothing against Jews, though. If you also go look at the history of Smyrna, you would see that it's a church that's, or a town, that a city that's very rich in history. There's a lot of things that happened throughout all the ages there. But specifically in the time that John wrote to this church there, they were known for all the facilities where you could train medical people and for all the science centers and the places where scientists could train. And so these people lived well. And they were healthy. And like I said, there was a big Jewish community there as well. And so they had a big synagogue where they could meet for prayer and worship and for this purpose of teaching their children. It's like a place where children could come to study. And so Smyrna had all of this. And another thing that was working quite well for them is that they were very political correct. Like we were trying to be nowadays, political correct. So any religion could come and practice their religion in Smyrna. It was open to all. Nobody was persecuted for their religion. There was one condition to this, though. There was one condition, and this condition was prevalent throughout the Roman world. Some of the governors enforced it more than others. But the one condition was, in Smyrna, you had at least once a year to go to the temple for a Roman emperor. In this case, it happened to be the temple for Tiberius. Does anybody know anything about Tiberius? Tiberius was the Roman general at 70 after Christ, destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple. Then he became emperor, and he was poisoned by his brother Domitian not long after that. What happened to Roman emperors was that when you became an emperor and you die, they would declare your deity and they would build a temple for you. And so they built a temple for Tiberius, who about 20 years before this passed away, and they built this temple in Smyrna. So you could practice your Christianity, you could practice Judaism, you could practice Islam, you could practice anything you want in Smyrna. But once a year you had to go to the temple of Tiberius, kneel down and bow down before the Caesar or his representatives and say, Caesar is Lord. Caesar is Lord. And when this happened, what they would do is they would give you a letter with permission to trade in Smyrna, and they would put a seal of Caesar on it. If you don't have this letter, you could not trade. The Romans used this method so they could control people. If they see that a bunch of people like the Christians do not go and worship their God Tiberius once a year, then they knew that they might have a problem with these people. They might revolt. So it's like giving the allegiance to Rome. So, if you want to know who's going to be your troublemakers in your colony or your area you're controlling, just look at those who are not willing to bow before Caesar. Yet this meant nothing to many people. The Jews in Smyrna included, they didn't mind going there once a year, bowing down and saying, Caesar is Lord, give my piece of paper so I can trade, because they didn't believe that. So they go there and say, Caesar is Lord, here's my paper, let me go and do my business. The Jews did this, and everybody in Smyrna did this. For without a circulation, you could do no business in this town. And what happens when one cannot trade in a city that's economy is built on trade? You become poor. And the Christians became poor. the believers in Smyrna were poor because they refused to bow down to Tiberius and they refused to say that Caesar is Lord because they only bow before Christ. And who is Lord? Who's Lord? Let me see if you're awake. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. So they could not do this. For these believers in Smyrna, there were only one king. There was only one Lord. And that was Jesus. They absolutely refused to say that Caesar is Lord. And therefore they could not trade. Because they had no letter with the seal of the emperor on it. Unlike the Jews in the synagogue, who were willing to say something that was very insignificant to them because they didn't believe it. But they were willing to say Caesar is Lord, as long as they could do their business. And when the Christians became poor, as a result of them not wanting to deny their Christ, the Jews slandered them. And I don't know if this was because of a feeling they had in them, that a feeling of guilt, maybe, or because they just thought, you know, they're doing this, what we're supposed to be doing, and we cannot do this. It was difficult for the Christians. Because now even the Romans were thinking, these guys are going to make trouble for us. They are going to make trouble for us. And the Jews, being jealous of them, maybe, or thinking they're pointing out how bad we are in our own religion. The Jews were creating problems for them with the Roman governors. And so the Jews slander them and make their life difficult. It must have been a terrible, difficult time for the believers in Smyrna. The Roman powers that be, they didn't trust them. And the Jews looked down on them. This they suffered. All because of their faith. All because of their faith. And the Jews look at them and thought, I cannot think, or they cannot think, why would people suffer like this for their faith? Why would they put their families through this? Why would they allow their families to be poor? Why would they allow their families to be slandered? Just because of their faith? And so the Jews continued to slander that which they did not understand. And so Jesus calls them out. He says, they are from the synagogue of Satan. They are from the synagogue of Satan. For if you worship the emperors of this world, and if you give in to the ungodly practices of the world, then in fact, you are worshiping Satan. That's what Jesus said to them. We might think, in our churches and our setups, we kind of like cool and fine. But I know, I've been to a general assembly and we were trying to get a thing through where congregations who cannot pay assessments would be allowed to call ministers. Because often congregations sit without ministers because they cannot afford to pay assessments. And so the guy presented, the one minister presented the whole paper, the reasoning, how we could do this, how we can even bring down assessments so that congregations can actually afford to pay a bit of it. And a chief financial officer of the UPCSA stood up and he said, this is all good and fine that you want to bring gospel into the church. I didn't say exactly that way, but that's how I understood it. That you want to bring the gospel into our churches. But in the real world. And I was thinking to myself, I should stand up here and say, you think that's the real world? This is the real world. Jesus moves. But I was not man enough to stand up in General Assembly. And a year or two later, this chief financial officer from the real world was caught with his hands in the till of the UPCSA. Because he allows Satan to come into his life by thinking in the terms of the world. In the real world, the Jews of Smyrna were bowing down to the emperor and saying that Caesar is Lord. In the real world, the righteous were suffering for their faith, even having to endure slander and having to endure persecution. The ones who gave into the real world were prosperous, or so it seemed. They could trade. But did they really prosper? For in verse 11 we heard that those who conquer, for those who are willing to endure slander, for those who are willing to suffer hardship for their faith, for them the second death will be no problem. They will rise with Jesus and sit at God's right hand. For as much as this world hurts us, as long as we stay true to Jesus and his teachings, we will live again. This is what we get from being part of the body of Christ. For Jesus was the first human to die, and he conquered death so that those who believe in him and accept him, so that they might live forever in his kingdom. Just to close, part of this letter that was written to the believers at Smyrna was to encourage them. It's not to tell them that, listen, if you have faith in me, who is Jesus, if you have faith in Jesus, who is the only living God, then your life will be easy, then everything will just fall into place for you. It wasn't to tell them that. Just encourage them. It was to tell them to keep on changing the world and working for a world that will change for the better. But it said to them that you will still suffer. You will still face hardships. In fact, it told them that they will continue to suffer under the Romans. And the Jews will continue to slander them. Life is not suddenly going to change and become easier for them. But the message Jesus brings is that to the believers in Smyrna, and the believers in Middleburg, and the believers in St. John, is that we must not stop being faithful. We must not start to say that Caesar is Lord, just so that our lives can be easier. I was moving quite a bit through Middleburg the last month, and as I got to know this town, I see a lot of need. I see a lot of places where there's hurt, and where there's stuff that needs to be done. But it seems to me that many people I meet, people who are doing kingdom work, are looking for, or are waiting for, or needing money to do the kingdom work. It's like money is the thing that will make things happen for them. And I'm thinking, are you not saying Caesar is Lord? We are waiting on money to do kingdom work. But I also see those like Pastor Yanni and Urbanas, people who just go out there and they just do kingdom work. And I see small groups like the ladies from Omma Help Omma, and they're not waiting for money. They just go out there and they do kingdom work. People who say Jesus is Lord, in him we trust, and we will make a difference in his name. And I see the same spirit in the people of St. John's. I see people will do kingdom work, working to change what is broken in our society, not caring what the slanderers have to say. Not counting the cost, because our people have faith in Jesus and not in the synagogue of Satan out there. So I want to encourage you today. Hold on to your faith. Hold on to your values. Hold on to that love we had at first, we heard about last week. Be careful of those little things we do though. Things we think might not matter. Like the paying of bribes. Even small ones. Hold on to doing of things that we know we do is right. For when you do these things, you will survive the second death. But if you don't, you might easily become like the Jews in Smyrna. We also, and through doing these little things we think are not meaning anything, we might also be saying Caesar is Lord. Knowing even that we still believe Jesus is Lord. Be careful of not opening the door of Satan or the door for Satan. Always remember there's only one Lord. Jesus is Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we know that as much as you wrote that letter to Smyrna, that that letter of encouragement, that letter that warns us against the small things we do that allow Satan to come in our lives. As much as you've done that, Lord, you've also wrote that letter to us, encouraging us, telling us to be careful of not following the way that other people follow, Lord, and do the things that other people do because everybody does it, but to keep true to your word, to keep deep true to your teaching. And Father, we thank you that your Son cares so much for us, that he's willing to do this for us, willing to warn us, willing to encourage us, willing even to die for us so that we can rise from our death into life with him. Father, we just thank you that you hold on to us. And Lord, we also know that you are concerned about our lives. So Father, this morning we have the freedom to pray for everyone who's not well amongst us. But Lord, this morning I specifically want to pray for Christine, who had a bit of a setback this week. Father, I want you to pray for her and pray that you would just fold your arms around her and protect her. Lord, she's a young girl with so much faith. Lord, we're learning so much from her and the faith that she has. Father, we know this letter that you wrote to Smyrna would have also been a letter to her, telling her to continue in this faith. Her pain might not go away immediately, but Lord, this letter tells her that you love her and you are with her. Lord, we pray also for Beth, for Anna Marie, and for the work you've done in Anne, that she could receive the message that she's fine. Lord, and for everybody else who at this moment have worries about their health. Father, we pray for the life and work of this congregation. Lord, you lead us into places and areas where we sometimes will fear to go, but Lord, we have faith in you. And Lord, we pray that you will grow the faith that we have to such a strong faith that we can make a difference, that we can really bring about a change that you want in Middleburg. Father, we just thank you for all the many opportunities that you allow us to be part of. Father, we pray all of these in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was the first and the last, Alpha and Omega. Amen. I'm going to ask